Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this Father's Day Sunday, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers or to those who fulfill the father role in a child's life. Please check out the bulletin announcement flyer inside your bulletin for our food pantry needs and other activities underway here at Barry. For the men, there is an RSVP for your attendance at the Men of Faith meeting this coming Thursday, June 23rd. We would appreciate a head count to prepare enough food for dinner. The June board meeting, typically scheduled for the fourth Sunday of the month, which would be next Sunday, has been canceled this month. There are a number of activities among our board members that have arisen that would affect attendance. There's also an invitation inside your bulletin to join a group from Barry attending a production at the Chestnut Fine Arts Theater next Sunday afternoon, June 26th, where our own organist Lenora Rimmert will be playing the keyboard for the show, and also our former music director Andrew Schmidt, who still remains a dear friend of Barry Christian Church, will be performing in that event. Please also see information concerning next month's Vacation Bible School, also registration for the golf tournament supporting the Northland Assistance Center, scheduled for Saturday, July 30th. And thank you, Jonathan Dorham, for serving as our accompanist this morning in Lenora's absence. And now I'd like to present a little moment in history of Barry Christian Church. This did not make the bulletin, but I want to take a look back at this day in the year 1983. Our minister at the time, the Reverend Eugene McFarland, who we affectionately referred to as Brother Mac, was retiring, and the Reverend Bob George, who had been the associate pastor and youth pastor during that time, was beginning his new role as senior pastor of Barry Christian Church. As I think about my own memories of that year, I had just graduated high school a few years prior and was in junior college, working in a grocery store to pay tuition. I know a number of you this morning that are here were active members of Barry Christian Church back then, and others here today weren't even born then. How many of you remember where you were in 1983? It's kind of hard, isn't it? At the same time all this was happening, on June 19th, 1983, exactly 39 years ago today, a young man transitioned from being referred to as Dennis Patience to becoming the Reverend Dennis Patience. Sorry, Dennis, your wife squealed on you. And this is a surprise this service, but can you act surprised next service too? Yeah. So now, fast forward to 2013 to Reverend Bob George's retirement from Barry after his 37 years of ministry. For several years, we had received a number of interim pastors while a search committee sought for a new full-time pastor. I'm told by some folks who were on that search committee that during that initial conference call with Pastor Dennis, the committee knew right then and right there that they had our person that we were looking for to lead Barry Christian Church. So remember this day exactly 39 years ago. That's the day that God began preparing Pastor Dennis for his ministry here at Barry Christian Church. And we're so grateful that he came to be with us, 7 years ago now?
Yeah,
7 years ago. So congratulations, Dennis, on the 39th anniversary of your ordination. All right, and may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. For there is one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. We'll now sing number 635, all stanzas of Faith of Our Fathers.
Faith of our fathers living.
sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, just as you prepared Joseph, David, and Moses to lead their people, we give thanks for your preparing Pastor Dennis for his ministry and to lead us here at Berry Christian Church. Lord, we pray for many things this morning, for world peace, for feeding the hungry, and providing for the poor, just as Jesus taught us to do. And we pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us each in our personal ministries. It is our prayer now that we will experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the
take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning.
Yeah.
right. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell.
Okay, there it is. I don't know why these things don't like me. They work fine for everybody else. Anyway, first, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there, grandfathers. Hi, guys. You're sitting awful far away from me. You know I don't bite. Anyway, so today is Father's Day. Now, when Miss Sydney came in, I said, well, are you going to do something special for Dad this afternoon? And she looked like me, at me like I was crazy. I said, no. She's like, okay. Sorry I asked. Anyhow. Sometimes it's just like that, isn't it? So, we celebrate our dads, but we also need to remember to help say thank you and show appreciation for all of those men who we call father figures in our life. So do you have any idea what I'm talking about when I say the father figures in our life? I bet you have some. She's very picky about where you should be sitting there. Anyway, father figures are any men who help teach us, guide us. You are very picky this morning, Miss McKenna. Yeah, she has nothing. She's like, yeah, so? Well, there are the men like our coaches, our teachers, our pastor. All of those are our grandpas, our uncles. Maybe sometimes it's just a special family friend. It's anybody that helps teach us and guide us and direct us. And we have to remember to tell them, you got one of those? I got one of those too, but I don't think anybody wants to see it. I should just turn it over to her. It's much more entertaining. Anyway. The father that we need to especially remember today is God. We need to always remember God is our heavenly Father. And he loves us and will guide us and direct us just like our daddies do. So, Miss McKenna, can we have a prayer? Can you fold your hands so we can pray? Can you put them together? Good job! Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father with all the love and guidance that you give us and the comfort. We thank you for every man in our life who helps to guide us and direct us and teach us. We especially thank you for our daddies who are there for us to help us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Well, blessings to all of you this morning, and it certainly is a privilege to be in the Lord's house on this Father's Day morning. At our home, our son Jonathan and our daughter-in-law Natalie and Miss Addie are visiting with us this weekend, and sitting at the table for breakfast, and Natalie passed me a card and then one for Jonathan. I have noticed that since my son is married now, I get a lot of cards that I used to not get. Is that the case for many of you men? I've noticed that. But the contents of this card said, in essence, "I'm so grateful you passed on your best qualities to me, Dad. Patience, loyalty, compassion, and a firm opinion on how the best way to mulch." But Natalie, oh my goodness, she knows us so well. Carrie and I have hauled 15 pickup loads of mulch into our little bitty yard this spring season alone. So yeah, she understands. So I hope, gentlemen, you're being remembered for your best attributes. For me, it's mulching. Happy Father's Day. Folks, we need to lift up in prayer as we make our way through this new week. Charles and Amy Roberts. Amy is recovering from surgery to alleviate a cancer concern that took place this last Tuesday, and she's making good progress. Sarah Lynn McFarlane took a fall at home, and that required a repair of her left hip, and she is now in recovery and in rehabilitation, still at the North Kansas City Hospital. And Phil White also went through left hip replacement surgery at the same hospital, and he's also in recovery on the same floor. So please keep all those families in prayer. Lois Strzok continues to be at the Cass Regional Medical Center. Mike Ransdell is still continuing his recovery from the left hip replacement surgery that he had. You know, so folks, watch out for those left hips, you know. You don't want to be on my list this next week, you know. And Shelley Taylor is getting over that coronavirus and able to get back to work. Thankfully, she's able to work from home presently. Also, Bob Settles continues to be at the Natori Rehabilitation Center in Liberty. We also remember Mary Jane Hagen in the midst of her recovery from a recent fall. Jill Gregory is now back at Newmark, so we're grateful for that progress for her. We also keep in prayer Lon Anderson, Betty and Jerry Donahue, Rihanna Ralston, and also Linda Ambrose is at Liberty Hospital. She has a very serious brain injury and loss of liver function now as a consequence of a fall. And she is the mother of Linda Stevens' son-in-law, Jeff Ambrose. And of course, Linda Ambrose has been on our prayer list sometimes in the past as well. So please keep them in your prayers. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is that every Sunday we are privileged to assemble in your house of worship and to offer you praise. But on this particular Sunday, we are also privileged to honor our earthly fathers and other men of faith who have inspired us through their example of faithfulness to you. And on this Father's Day Sunday, it is also of a particular privilege for us to remember that you are the supreme God and Father of all creation. For Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 reminds us that there is one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. And as the scriptures remind us that we are created in your image, may we truly understand that one of the best ways we can honor you and express our genuine love for you is to strive to live lives that honor your will and purposes. For Isaiah chapter 64 declares, "O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hand." And as we search the truth of your holy word on this Father's Day Sunday, may each of us truly grasp the depth of your great love for us, whom you call your children. Great is our inheritance, as Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. For your great love for us, thus we recognize that you are indeed the Father of all fathers as we give thanks in Christ's name, and as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord.
Honoring fathers on this special day of the year began with Sonora Louise Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington in 1909. She recognized that her father, William Jackson Smart, like many men before him, went the extra mile in faithfully caring for his children after the loss of a spouse. In fact, for Mr. Smart, it was the loss of two spouses and resulted in his care of a total of 14 children, three from his first wife's first marriage, five from his union with his first wife, and then six from his second wife, who was Sonora's mother, who died when she was 16, and her five brothers were all younger. Concerning her father's genuine care, Sonora once said to a reporter from the Spokane Daily Chronicle, "I remember everything about him. He was both father and mother to me and my brothers and sisters." The Ministerial Association and the YMCA of Spokane, Washington, both supported Mrs. Dodd's efforts, and the first Father's Day celebration was therefore held on the 19th of June in 1910. So here it is, the 19th of June, is it not? See, this date just keeps coming over and over. And of course, it's Juneteenth as well. As we gather at our Lord's table, we also remember that we partake of the bread and cup as they remind us of the sacrifice our Lord Jesus made, that we may not be spiritually orphaned, but rather we are given the privilege to abide in our spiritual Heavenly Father's realm forevermore. We prepare to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper as we sing all stanzas of our communion hymn number 402, "According to Thy Gracious Word." Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to gather today with special people to recognize fathers everywhere. We especially recognize our Heavenly Father and praise you now and always for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we come around this table, we remember your sacrifice by partaking of the bread and cup in remembrance of him. We honor you and we ask that you give us grace as we practice our commitment to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
There are many tributes and sayings about fathers on Father's Day, but one caught my attention as it states, a father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. And as we receive our offering this morning, we remember how our loving God gave his all as his Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into the world and became that final sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. We express our genuine thanks to God for his great love and mercy as we offer our tithes and offerings, as Dave first leads us in a word of prayer.
We praise you, Almighty God. You have blessed us with a beautiful world to live in. We now want to return a portion of what you have given us. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Please also bless our church and our minister. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand. God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 in the New International Version of the Bible. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, on this Father's Day, we not only honor our earthly fathers, but we also offer praise and thanksgiving to you. For you are indeed, as Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, the one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It is in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Surely Father's Day is a time in which we express honor and gratitude to our earthly fathers and to other men with whom we feel that we have benefited from their support. We may be expressing thanksgiving to our biological fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, even great-grandfathers, We may also wish to express thanks to a number of other men in our lives, teachers, neighborhood fathers, coaches, or maybe even men of faith in various congregations, which I know certainly has been the case for me. Elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, are simply a man whose very presence in worship has inspired us immensely. But on this particular Father's Day Sunday, I think we also should be compelled to want to give thanks to the Father of all fathers, our loving God and Creator. As Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, we have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? And the universal love and genuine regard that our Heavenly Father has for His children is also illustrated in a story of a father and his two sons. A Sunday school superintendent was registering two new boys into the Sunday school program, and the superintendent asked their ages and birthdays so she could place them in, of course, the appropriate classes. The bolder of the two boys replied that, well, we're both seven. My birthday is the 8th of April, and my brother's birthday is the 20th of April. The superintendent replied, though, but that's not possible, boys. And the quieter brother spoke up, no, it's true. One of us is adopted. Oh, the superintendent, not quite convinced. And of course, it's always the question, which of you is adopted? The superintendent asked. And the two brothers looked at each other and smiled. The bolder one said, we asked Dad that same question a while ago, but he just looked at us and he said he loves us both so equally, so much equally, that he couldn't remember anymore which one of us was adopted. Now that is a genuine expression of love. Obviously, as the boys would get older, there'd have to come a time that the adopted child would have to know some data here to take on with all the legal matters going forth in life, but that is truly a genuine way to approach things, is it not? You know, there's been many a family where, I assemble with the family members for arrangements for like a parent's a funeral service, and they will insist, we don't use step. We don't use step, brother, sister, or any of that. We're all brothers and sisters, you know, right? Surely that genuine equality and unilateral love that this earthly father shared with both of his sons is the same kind of universal love that our heavenly Father shares with all of us. And that's what I want us to embrace on this Father's Day morning. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And as we look further into Paul's writings here in the book of Romans, the whole idea of all of God's children being adopted and even placed on an equal footing with our Lord Jesus is a striking illustration of the profound magnitude of God's love for us as He is our Heavenly Father. And so that key focused verse for this morning is Romans chapter 8, verse 17. We are God's children. And thus, as verse 17 tells us, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Have you ever thought of that? You are heirs with God and co-heirs. Didn't say step, didn't say half. It says co-equal heirs with who? Christ our Lord. That is a profound thought that Paul is giving us here. You know, we have heard the phrase, oh, he's just putting on airs. An heir spelled H-E-I-R is someone who has legitimately received property, money, or title at the time of another person's death. But when we say that someone is putting on airs, The spelling is A-I-R-S, and A-I-R-S, here airs is a fake way of acting. Thus, putting on airs is when someone is pretending that they are living out a life that is well above one's station or financial ability. But here, when we have the expression of airs being lifted up by the Apostle Paul, what we must understand is there is absolutely nothing fake about the positioning in which we are placed in our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. In his letter to the Roman church, the Apostle Paul often used expressions that the Roman Christian people would understand. In other words, context about their culture. Because again, being the way he lived his life, he was very familiar with that culture, even though he was indeed a Jewish man. And here in Romans 8, Paul is certainly talking about adoption as it would have taken place in the Roman world in biblical times. So let's look closer at Romans chapter 8, see what he says. In 8 verse 10, Paul is telling us that as we accept Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God lives within us and puts us in a right relationship with God. And as we get to verse 14, this text says that those who are led by God's Spirit then are God's children. Well, again, we know there's all different kinds of children, so to speak. So, well, how do we define that? Verse 15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Here, Abba being an expression of endearment, it's like a small child who hollers out, Daddy, or how we might as an adult say, oh, dearest father or dearest dad. You know, again, expression of endearment, because we are indeed adopted into sonship. Well, what is this all about from the Roman context? It was a big deal among the Roman people in biblical times, and it should be a big deal for us as we think of the spiritual adoption that takes place for us in our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Sonship was such a serious matter in Roman times because a father had absolute control over and responsibility for a son's life as long as the father lived. Now that is, I think, just a profound thought. A father possessed absolute authority over his son, even to the point of whether a son would live or die, because it could actually be put to death by the father, and that would be considered legally okay if there was some egregious transgression that the father decided that the death penalty was required. The father had the power to kill his own son. Whoa. You know, that is humbling. When a son was adopted into a Roman family, and this could happen from time to time, where, say, a particular gentleman sees so many significant attributes in a young man, or maybe he really wants to assist that young man's future. He could, or maybe that young man's had lost his family in some sort of disaster of some sort. Well, another Roman gentleman could come along and say, I want to adopt you into my family. And there was a specific ceremony that took place to make that legally binding. And when a son was adopted into a Roman family, the adoptee's previous life was completely forgotten. And if there were any debts in that previous life, all debts were forgiven immediately. And the adopted son was also given absolute privilege to enjoy whatever benefits his adopted father had to offer. Now, like, say, in the case of an education, you could see how that would be really important. Let's say there's a young person who they lost their family members in some disaster, and, you know, just really struggling to make a life, and somebody comes along and says, hey, I want to adopt you into my family. And by the way, we're going to do that. I'm going to send you to college. I'm going to make whatever you want to do with your life, I'm going to help make it possible. See how that could be such a significant blessing and benefit? And the adopted son, according to Roman law, thus started an absolutely new life once that adoption ceremony was completed. In a spiritual sense, Paul is telling us that through our confession of faith, we are genuinely adopted into God's family. And in our spiritual relationship to God, our old lives before our confession are forgotten, no matter what sin we may have committed. It is of no consequence and has no sway over us. We begin a new spiritual life dedicated wholly to God's purposes. We start new spiritually, and we enjoy all the privileges of joy and peace in our new spiritual fellowship with God. Chief among those privileges, of course, being what? Salvation, and the privilege for our spirits to abide in God's eternal kingdom forevermore. And the Roman adoption also, when it was carried out, required 7 witnesses. So again, you see how important this stuff was. 7 witnesses. Why? It's so that even after the father's death, if there was ever any challenge to the legitimacy of the adoption, or somebody arguing about whether that particular son or even daughter was the inheritor, if you will, of properties, if there's ever a question, surely out of 7 witnesses, somebody would still be alive at the time of the contesting of the adoption. And so whoever remained, they would say, yes, we were there. We witnessed that. We know that that adoption was truly correct and legally binding. And concerning our spiritual adoption here in our scripture text for today, the text tells us that it is the Spirit of God that testifies to our adoption. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Through this adoption, then, verse 17 gives us the great news that is the consequence of God's adoption for each of us. As verse 17 states, now if we are God's children, then we are heirs, H-E-I-R-S, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in His suffering, then also we'll share in His glory. So again, we know that a lot of Christian folks during this time period had a difficult time as Christianity became very unpopular as time evolved here. But even through the suffering, those folks were to know that they would indeed share in the glories of God in the eternal kingdom. What we must understand and truly appreciate is that we are first of all heirs or inheritors of all that is of God. And secondly, we are all put on an even distinction as children of God, just as Christ is our Lord and also a child of God, so are you and I. That's why I put out on the sign this morning the text, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, heirs with Christ. But Romans chapter 6 also tells us in verse 4, by our baptism then, we are buried with Him. In other words, buried with Christ. We share in His death in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. And that's the verse I often use when we have baptisms here in the baptistry behind me, to lift up that notion that we are given a new life in Christ. You know, it is possible that at some time in your life you've been privileged to share time in the company of a rather wealthy person. We know that's certainly been the case for us. Even our son, you know, took a private flight and a private jet with a member of one of our churches to go to a OU football game, where this particular gentleman happened to also be one of the trustees of the entire university. You know, now that's some, we'd call that some high living, wouldn't we? Right? Or have you ever been in a guest in a person's grand house, you know, and sat down at some big grand table for a fancy meal of some sort? You think, wow. You kind of just wonder in your mind, what would it be like to kind of live this lifestyle? But, you know, when it all gets boiled down, you realize, nah, you're just a guest. And you're a guest at the, you know, graces of the person who's invited you. But what we must really understand about this text, what I think is so profound and so exciting for us to think about here on Father's Day, is Romans 8 is telling us, we're, by our confession of faith and God's great grace, we are legally adopted into the family of God. We're not just guests. We're sitting at his table. And who's there with us? Who's at our side but our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we so often feel like, you know, God's way up there and I'm way down here. No, Paul is telling you that we are heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that an incredible thought? Boy, if that won't warm you up to a loving God, I just don't know what will on this Father's Day. And so I ask you, have you made that confession of faith? Do you genuinely believe that God's love for you is so great that he wants to welcome you into his spiritual family for all eternity? The invitation is for you today. If you've not made that confession of faith, I encourage you to do so. Or maybe today is your day. You need to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. The hymn of invitation we're singing is number 699. Rejoice, the Lord is King. We'll sing all stanzas, please. thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best this Father's Day. May we pray. Lord God, guide us as we depart from your home, and may our lives truly be a living testimony for your will and purposes as we step forward into the new week. In Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship you. Amen.